D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform, we look at the birth of Jesus Christ.
The virgin birth, fact or fable?
The virgin birth of Christ was foretold hundreds of years ahead of time. But that's not all.
Jesus of Nazareth fulfilled all of the prophecies that we see in the Old Testament. I mean, it's so extraordinary. It's amazing to think about on a whole number of levels.
Join us as we look toward the supernatural Christ of Christmas today on Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. In an age of fake news and partisan bickering, it can be hard to know what is true and what is false anymore. So how do we know that Christianity is true? Especially since religion is one of those things that most people now place in the category of mere opinion. On today's program, we look at one of the most compelling reasons for believing that Jesus Christ, whom we celebrate at Christmas, is the objectively true Lord and Messiah. And we will share some outstanding resources with you to strengthen your faith and help you defend it to others. As we begin, only one religious figure has the full force of historical evidences supporting his claims. And hundreds of years before Jesus Christ was born, his life, ministry, and death were foretold in great detail. There is simply nothing else like this in all of history. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb has more.
One of the main proofs of the Bible is prophecy. Is that there are literally hundreds of prophecies foretelling Christ, that he would come into Jerusalem riding a donkey, that his clothes would be parted or gambled for, and he would be pierced in his hands and his feet, and he could count his bones. These prophecies exist to prove that Christ indeed is the promised Messiah.
Hundreds of years before the Messiah was born, his birth, ministry, death, resurrection, and even his ancestry were foretold in hundreds of prophecies to be found in the Hebrew Bible, that is the Old Testament. Here is a list of just a handful of these prophecies, including the year they were predicted, such as that he would be rejected by his own family and friends, that a friend would betray him, that the price would be 30 pieces of silver, that he would rise from the dead. These facts and hundreds more were foretold by the writers of the Old Testament.
Jesus of Nazareth fulfilled all of the prophecies that we see in the Old Testament. I mean, it's so extraordinary. It's amazing to think about on a whole number of levels. But the God of the Bible is a God of history. And he said, someday I will bring Messiah into the world.
These prophecies are things that perhaps weren't so clear before Jesus came. But in retrospect, that they pointed to him is quite clear.
The New Testament places a great focus on the prophecies Jesus fulfilled to demonstrate that he was indeed the Messiah. We can see this, for example, in its very opening book, the Gospel according to Matthew.
Matthew wrote the first of the four Gospels. He was one of Jesus' disciples. He was a tax collector, as a matter of fact, and also very good with numbers and words. Quite clearly, because he provides a gospel which is addressed primarily to the Jewish world to show that the Hebrew prophecies in the Old Testament were actually fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth. And the Hebrew term for Messiah is Mashiach, and the Greek term for the same word is Christos. And so when you say Jesus Christ, you're using really the church's oldest confession that Jesus is the Christ.
Let's consider just a few of these prophecies, such as this statement from the prophet Isaiah, written about 750 years before Christ.
Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Some liberal versions of the Old Testament will translate Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall conceive, right? They'll translate it, behold, a young woman shall conceive. Now, the Hebrew word there is Alma, and indeed it can mean young woman. But the important thing here is that the Jewish translators of Isaiah, in what we refer to as the Septuagint translation, they chose the Greek word parthenos. That is absolutely unequivocal. That is a virgin. That's how they understood it. And this indicates that this is one of those prophecies that simply is not, you know, cannot be fit to anybody other than Jesus.
There are a number of things in the Bible where you see in the Old Testament God talking about what he's going to do. And one of the most dramatic things is the mention of a virgin birth. But when you're talking about God, you're talking about somebody who is the creator of the universe. If he can create the universe ex nihilo, I think he could have a virgin conceive and give birth to the Messiah, who's God incarnate. I think it's possible that he could raise the Messiah from the dead. God can do those things.
Where was he to be born? Writing about 700 BC, the prophet Micah stated,
out of Bethlehem will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times.
One of the amazing things about the first advent is that it was small. It was not triumphant. Jesus showed up in a little tiny city of Bethlehem instead of in Rome. There were shepherds there instead of great Roman gladiators and Roman politicians. All of that was small. There was a lowliness to his approach and a lowliness of his audience. And yet we know that the second coming will be entirely different from that.
We also see in the Old Testament the idea of the Messiah as a suffering servant. First in Psalm 22, which virtually takes us to the foot of the cross. These words were written by King David around 1000 BC.
Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing.
It tells us precisely what is going to happen at his death and all the things that will take place during that time. It's an amazing, amazingly accurate prediction about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And perhaps most famously of all, Isaiah 53 points us to the suffering Messiah who would ultimately pay for the sins of his people on the cross. In 750 BC, the prophet Isaiah wrote,
he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, and each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Isaiah clearly sees that the Messiah will make an atonement for sin. He will suffer for the sins of his people. One time I was ministering in prison, and I was talking to a young man who was Jewish. He said he didn't want to have me read him anything out of the New Testament. And I said, okay. So I read to him Isaiah 53. He stopped me immediately and in an angry tone said, why are you reading me from the New Testament? I told you not to do that. I said, it's not. It's the prophet Isaiah. I showed it to him. He read it. He immediately saw Jesus in the passage, and he trusted Jesus as his Lord and Savior.
When the actual verses that Christ fulfilled is beyond any chance of coincidence, it literally proves that this is a divine book.
Are you looking for solid evidence for the Christian faith?
But how do we know that the Bible is indeed God's Word? Those who would be effective witnesses for Christ need to realize that the resurrection is the unassailable fortress of Christianity.
Dr. D. James Kennedy explains 12 reasons why I believe in this new book compiled by Dr. Jerry Newcomb to bolster your faith and help you answer tough questions. Dr. Kennedy boldly and clearly illustrates how you can know for sure that there is a God. The world was created. Jesus was born of a virgin, and the foundations of your faith are true. Contact us today to receive your copy of 12 Reasons Why I Believe, so that you can be equipped to answer the challenges of skeptics and share the evidence for your Christian faith.
As you've just heard, there are amazing prophecies for Christ that can only be explained supernaturally. One of those prophecies was that he would be born of a virgin. That birth is what we celebrate at Christmas time. But why is it so important? This miraculous biblical truth that Jesus was born to a virgin has been under attack for decades, even within the church. But there is no Christianity without it, as Dr. Kennedy shares in this portion of his message, The Virgin Birth, Fact or Fiction?
Our subject this morning, the virgin birth, fact or fable? Now, I want to assure you right off that I do not believe in the virgin birth and hope that none of you does. Well, now I've got your attention. Those words were spoken from the magnificent Riverside Church in New York City a half century or more ago by the Reverend Harry Emerson Fosdick, the leader and popularizer of the liberal theological movement in America. And they have echoed and re-echoed throughout liberal churches of this nation since and before. It seems that for some reason, the virgin birth of Christ has come under greater attack than any other miracle in the New Testament. The virgin birth, I believe, is a fact, and not only a fact, but a foundational fact of our faith. There are the more deceptive kind of skeptics that will not so much as attack it directly, but will say it really doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. Some of you have no doubt sat in churches where you have heard that kind of statement. Having heard it myself, I one day sat down to consider what difference it does make. And here are the differences that I came up with. One, if Jesus were not born of a virgin, then the New Testament narratives are proven false and unreliable. Mary is stained with the sin of unchastity. She was, of course, betrothed to Joseph, which is more than our engagement by far. It required a bill of divorcement to end this betrothal. And should someone be found to have been unchaste, it was not fornication but adultery which they were guilty of. And the woman was taken to the gate of the city. Her clothes were ripped, her jewelry removed. She was dressed in rags, tied with a rope, and all of the women were brought out to gape at her, lest they should be involved in such lewdness. Today, such unchastity gets you an invitation to a talk show on morning TV. Three, Jesus was mistaken about his paternity because he repeatedly declared that he was the Son of God and that God was his Father. Four, Christ was not born of the seed of the woman, and therefore the ancient promise given in the Garden of Eden that the seed of the woman would destroy the head of the serpent is unfulfilled. Jesus was, therefore, an
illegitimate child, not the peerless Son of God. He is consequently not the God-man. He was then a sinner just like the rest of us, and as a sinner, he cannot be the divine Redeemer because the sacrifice must be perfect. Therefore, we have no Savior at all. 10, we are yet in our sins and without forgiveness. 11, we have no hope after death. 12, there is no mediator between God and man. 13, there is no Trinity because there is no second person of the Trinity. 14, Christ should not have prayed, "Father, forgive them," but rather, "Father, forgive us," because he was a sinner just like the rest of us. And lastly, if this miracle of the virgin birth is denied, where shall we draw the line? Why should we not then deny them all? Dr. Gutsky at seminary used to say that the virgin birth is no big problem at all for God. If there is a God who created the universe, if he flung the galaxies out from his fingertips, if he painted the night sky with a scintillating Milky Way, then surely for him to take a tiny seed and place it in the womb of a woman is nothing at all. And Dr. Gutsky said that if you can't believe that God can do that little thing, you really don't believe in God at all. If he can't do that, he can't do much of anything. So you see that behind this lurks the gaping abyss of atheism. Why do we believe it? Well, a young man, newly minted from a seminary where the Bible was believed, was sent out to preach in a small country church. And these Scandinavian folk that lived around there came to hear him. There was one old farmer who was a skeptic, something of a curmudgeon, that didn't come to church at all, but the young man wanted to win him, and he invited him to come to church one day, offered to pick him up and drive him, which he did, and he preached that morning on the virgin birth. And on the way home, he said to the old farmer, "Well, a dangerous question for a preacher to ask, what did you think of the sermon?" And Mr. Worldly Wise of the Sod said, "Well now, son, if some girl today got herself pregnant, had a baby, and then told you that it was a virgin birth, would you believe that?" I want to ask you, would you believe that? The young man pondered for a little while and said, "Well," he said, "yes, I would, if that baby grew up to live like Christ." You see, science demands that every effect have a sufficient and adequate cause. And in a world where everyone has sinned, where there are none righteous, no, not one, where the heart is deceitful above all things, and the front pages of our newspapers all over the world every day, morning and night, proclaim the sinfulness of man, the fall of mankind. Every front page of every newspaper every day declares that Genesis 3 is true. Man fell. Yet in the midst of that mud heap, there grows a single solitary lily, white and pure. How do you explain it? Every effect must have an adequate or sufficient cause. The only adequate cause is the fact of the virgin birth, that he did not inherit that venom of sin which has poisoned the human race. The uniqueness of Christ demands a unique birth. Secondly, I believe in the virgin birth because the Scripture repeatedly and unequivocally declares it to be so. I believe the virgin birth is true because Christ rose from the dead. and the resurrection of Christ is the most firmly attested fact of antiquity, and therefore all of the evidence for the resurrection of Christ is evidence for the virgin birth of Jesus. Why? Because the scripture tells us that when God raised him from the dead, he put his imprimatur upon the atonement of Jesus Christ and declared that that sacrifice had been accepted, and the sacrifice would not have been accepted if Christ were not pure, and he would not have been pure if he were born a sinner like all of us.
As you've just seen, nobody declared and defended the truth better than Dr. Kennedy. And it was his passion that God's people be able to similarly declare and defend their faith. He was convinced that mastering the answer to several common questions would give believers confidence to be obedient to Christ in giving an answer for the hope within them. We have compiled 12 of those key teachings on central issues in the new book we've just published, 12 Reasons Why I Believe, by Dr. D. James Kennedy. And we will send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. In this book, Dr. Kennedy explains the evidence for believing that there is a God, that the Bible is His Word, and that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, among many other truths of Christianity. 12 Reasons Why I Believe will strengthen your own faith and help you answer questions and objections from others. This is a tool that needs to be in every believer's toolbox. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 1154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. And if you are able to give a donation of $75 or more, we will send you the new book plus a set of the 12 companion messages on 6 DVDs called Dr. D. James Kennedy on Why I Believe. This set includes the full version of the message on the virgin birth you just heard a portion of, as well as 11 other powerful messages dealing with the evidences for the existence of God, for the truth of the Bible, and for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, among many others. And if you can donate $100 or more, we will send you one of the greatest resource packages we have ever put together, the new book, 12 Reasons Why I Believe, the 12 message DVD set, D. James Kennedy on Why I Believe, and the classic hardcover book from Dr. Kennedy, What If the Bible Had Never Been Written, co-authored with Dr. Jerry Newcomb. This book shows the incredible impact that the Word of God has had on our world, including in politics, law, the founding of America, and science, among many other areas. Despite the claims of skeptics, the Bible is the book that built Western civilization. And you can find out how in Dr. Kennedy's meticulously researched classic book, What If the Bible Had Never Been Written? We will send you all three of these amazing resources, literally a treasure trove of powerful apologetics, as our thanks for your donation of $100 or more. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 1154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. Almost everyone is interested in predictions of the future. In theology, the branch of study about the end times is called eschatology, the study of last things. Every worldview has some form of eschatology with predictions of the future. The communists, following Karl Marx, believed that everything will culminate in the Great Revolution, where the workers are set free and a secular heaven is realized on earth. The environmental movement today prophesies a coming catastrophe in which global warming raises the ocean levels and wipes out life on earth. Their eschatological fervor is in no way mitigated by their previous false prophecies, like the coming global ice age they warned us of in the 1970s, or the population explosion they decried in the 60s that would lead to global famine, wiping out hundreds of millions, all of which never came to pass. The Bible also makes predictions about what is ultimately to come, but the difference is the prophecies of the Bible have proved reliably true over and over again. The prophets foretold that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, that he would suffer and die as an atonement for the sins of his people, that he would rise again from the dead, that this good news would spread to every corner of the earth, and all of this has come to pass. And Jesus also told us that he would return to judge the living and the dead, to wipe all sin from the earth and reign over the new heavens and the new earth. This prediction from the Son of God also will not fail to come to pass. Are you ready for his return? You can be. All you need to do is come to him in faith, turn away from your sins, and receive the free gift of eternal life that he offers to you. That is why he came to earth in the nativity that we celebrate at Christmas. Make this your best Christmas ever by receiving him as your Savior and Lord. If you do, we have a book we would like to send to you at absolutely no cost. It's called Beginning Again by Dr. D. James Kennedy, written to guide new believers in their relationship with Christ. Contact us to receive a copy today, and may God bless you and be with you. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
I think that we have a window of opportunity to answer the question of what would happen if Jesus wasn't ever born.
That if he had not come, we would not know that God loves us, and we would not love God.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.